And we have a special request for everyone who's listening in. Review team members, become very familiar with your microphone. Get to know your microphone. Stay close. Stay very close. Okay, we are reconvening the Accountability and Transparency Review Team meeting. We have been so efficient as a group, and my compliments to all, that we're going to adjust our agenda and actually begin bringing in some items that were otherwise scheduled to be discussed on tomorrow's agenda. Yes, we have been extraordinarily efficient. So the time restructuring of today's meeting is that we will meet for the next hour and have open discussion. And at 11:30, the team will break. And as is called for in the afternoon sessions, we're going to have closed sessions hearing from the respondents to the RFP. And then, depending on where we are in our agenda, reconvene tomorrow. So with that being said, we'll work for the next hour and then close off at 11:30, break for lunch, and move on to the evaluations. We have a first item that appears in the afternoon schedule of document management. Pardon me, Saturday schedule. Document management. So let me frame the issue, and we alluded to it earlier in this morning. The review team is going to be taking on board a fair amount of documentation we already have with respect to our request to ICANN staff. We're anticipating a report from the management assessment team. We're about to engage in an interaction with the community, a broad interaction with the community, which itself could generate a fair amount of documentation. Document management is about more than just having access to physical copies, as we all understand, of documents and source material that we need. This is a review and an analysis, so one of the things that's necessary is an ability to have effectively a library of the documents that the review team is going to rely on as a basis for its work, an ability to validate the documentation to ensure that it is complete, it's whole, it's responsive to the questions, an ability to, within a given document, identify other source material in the form of footnotes or related documents that inform the data, and generally a skill set that, in my mind, equates to something that a paralegal or a good young lawyer would have. So with the pending volume and the required skill set that I've just sketched out, my thinking is that we should try to get a third-party resource to take on this task for the review team. And it's about more than just that. We have separate working groups that are going to be set up that have their own focus in terms of the work. Some of the documentation will certainly apply to their jobs. Others might not. The ability to catalog and cross-reference documents as they relate to the discrete working teams is also important. So, Becky, we've had a discussion about trying to find a resource, and you said you put out some feelers. Do you have an update on that?
I have spoken with a few colleagues in law schools, and there are, in fact, law students who are available for very low cost to provide these kinds of services. I in fact, got one $12 an hour. Apparently for law students it is. So there are definitely people who are available on work-study programs at various law schools. I have a name and a resume from somebody at New York Law School, but there are, a jillion law schools probably all over the place. I mean, I do think, for example, just having a library of the information that we've already received from Michelle and having all of that stuff. Denise, I'm sorry. Lucy, I just got off the plane. I'm very tired. I'm clearly more tired than I anticipated. But I think it would be very useful to have an electronic archive with the documents that we are going to be working from.
Any other discussion or suggestions as to how we address this need? Peter.
Have you asked ICANN staff in relation to this at all? This is the kind of thing that ICANN does all the time, is manage this kind of material flow and set up these working groups and manage these things. Have you talked? So, I mean, an obvious question is to talk to Doug at some stage about what, or Denise might be able to give a hint while she's here at the moment.
Yeah, we haven't talked to Doug yet. Denise, given the conversation, what resources might be available that could meet the skill sets and needs that were described?
Happy to look into it. Can you just shoot me an email with the specific? I can use what I heard today if you want to give it some more thought and put it in writing. I'm happy to explore it and get back to you.
Sure.
Give you a sense tomorrow or the next day.
Sure.
Brian, the advantage of that is that if you go and do something else, in the interest of openness and transparency, you probably can't just go to a friend of Becky's or a friend of mine or a friend of someone on the panel. You're going to have an open and transparent call for volunteers or staff to support this, and you're going to run a major recruitment exercise. Mm-hmm. So that would have the advantage if we can keep it, if you like, in-house.
Mm-hmm. Other discussion? Larry.
My guess is that if we proceed with an engagement of a management advisor, they're probably going to do this work for their own purposes anyway, so I'm not sure we need to pay for it twice, too. So we may want to evaluate that as in the context of the whatever engagement we might do, too.
Point taken. Okay, we'll draft up a description of the skill set required and the management scope of management of documents, get that to you, Denise, and we'll pursue on all fronts. Moving along. I thought we could use this time to start the preparation for joint meetings, which is the second item in tomorrow's agenda in the 11 o'clock time frame. There's been, obviously, we've set up our meetings with the different constituent bodies of ICANN. There's been questions that have been presented to those bodies, but we really need to be clear on the dynamic of the exchange. And there's been questions raised, Peter, from the board. I've heard from the council representative as to questions. What's the dynamic we're looking for once we get face-to-face with these folks? In our last discussion, the suggestion was made that we could, as a device, put the questions up on the screen, walk through the questions that were presented to the respective bodies, and solicit feedback using that as a template. My reservation about that is if you look at the length of the list of questions that we presented and the amount of time that we have with each respective body, that wouldn't be a very feasible approach. There's just not sufficient time to walk through each question as you might do at a public forum, Peter, and give everybody 3 minutes to speak to the question. So one suggestion for the team is that we look at the questions that we've posed to each respective body and prioritize or call out two or three for particular emphasis, frame the exchange at the outset by indicating to the board, indicating to the council, we've given you questions, here are the two or three areas that we think are particularly important, we'd like to hear from you on those. So open floor. Becky?
Just with respect to the council, the meeting with the GNSO council and with the registries and the registrars, and perhaps with the NCUC group that is not called NCUC anymore, I know that they're planning to present case studies, actually. That is the methodology. So, which I was enthusiastic about. I mean, they have the questions that we've posted publicly, but the notion was that they will come to us with examples, and I said we're looking for examples of things that have worked well and things that have not worked well. For those meetings, that's not going to deal with the board or the GAC, but those, I think, are in hand.
And that's very welcome, to the extent that any group comes forward with case studies for us to consider. Obviously welcome. I think it's more for the others where, for example, in private conversations, the GAC, the board, the council looking for guidance from us. I think a point to note, obviously, is as with the questions we pose to ICANN staff, everyone on the RT recognizes that we're not expecting written responses to this list of questions we've given, that to the extent the board or the council or any of the bodies wanted to provide written responses to that list of questions after the Brussels, that's certainly contemplated and welcome. But for those organs that have said, hey, what do you want to do here and how do you want to structure it? If you could, do you have the list of questions that we gave to the board, Manal? If you could throw that up on the screen, what I'd suggest we do is look at the list of questions, and if we can isolate two or three priority areas or issues. Peter?
Can I channel Larry? And this is Larry One again. let's be very clear about what we can achieve in 90 minutes. So there has to be some prioritizing. Let's not ask questions that the management team, this management reviewers, are going to go and ask themselves. Let's try and work out what are the questions that this team needs to ask. It would seem a bit, and let's look at the list of questions on our thing and see what which of the different, if we haven't actually set them up yet, so we're kind of chicken and egg, but we're going to have these different subgroups of working. Which are the questions that each of those working groups might want to ask? I think there's probably only a narrow set of questions that really relate, and that's the first section in the way the board constitutes itself and functions that you really want to ask the board about. But I think that's the kind of thinking I think the group needs to have before it goes in there. Don't ask questions that the management, these management consultants are going to come and ask themselves, and don't ask questions that relate to things other than directly relevant to one of the working group question topics on the board.
Sorry, can I,
Becky,
clarify? Don't ask questions that are directly relevant to the working group, or?
Well, if you look at the list of questions, there's a question about how the community responds to input. I suggest that's not a set of questions you want to ask the board.
Okay, but that's not. I probably agree with you on that, but that not because we're planning that the working groups would then go in and re-interview the board or whatever.
Okay, we've got the list of questions that were provided to the board on the screen. And Manal, if you could slowly scroll through, what I'm asking the review team members now is to make a suggestion about a subset of questions or a subset of issues that we would want the board to focus on in providing inputs to us when we meet with the board. Willie.
Just picking up on Becky's point, it may be that all, not just the registries, registrar NCSG should be asked for candidates for case studies, but the board also asked, you know, what in their decision-making processes would be useful examples for the team to look at and the management consultant to probe more. And perhaps we should have that as a standard question, which could lead on to some discussion of why that would be or not be a useful example to look into.
Thank you, Willie. I think, yes, case studies is welcome from any of the constituencies or organs that we're meeting with. Agreed. Fabio.
I think this is a sort of common trend that will go through all the discussions. Probably when we'll interview the candidates, we will want to ask them to look at one or two particularly contentious cases or decisions. So we will get from the groups indications of examples, as we have already indicated in the written questions, that they should be giving us of instances of cases where they were particularly unhappy with the decisions of ICANN. And these would be obviously the cases that we will suggest to the consultant to have a look at. So my point is, it's already, I would say, Willie's point is already implicit in the written questions we have already asked.
Well, I think one of the overarching themes that we've agreed upon is that we're looking at the time frame from the beginning of the affirmation of commitments primarily, and what changes have taken place within ICANN since September 30th of last year. I know that's a high overarching thought and theme, but perhaps that's one area we should focus with the board, is asking the board what changes they have observed themselves or implemented themselves in response to the affirmation of commitments, and to be specific, and what their view is on those changes, positive, negative, or neutral. And that's number, trying to look at the list of questions to see if we can isolate one. There's six come close to that? I kind of like to, yes. Six comes very close to that. Let's see. So is there agreement that we would call out that theme in number six as a point of reference for the board to focus on in our exchange? Okay. I'm referring back now to the affirmation of commitments itself and to letter A. So what we need to call out is board governance, which the board selection process, the extent to which the board composition meets ICANN's present and future needs, and the consideration of, what's that? In the earlier questions?
Again, can I just offer some thoughts on this?
Please. Obviously,
just again, the suggestion, you really want to ask questions that actually have qualitative and useful opportunities for dialogue. The first question, some of those questions, what changes have been made since such and such? If the answer is nothing, does that lead to any kind of useful dialogue? The first question about how have there been any changes in the methodology of electing board members? Well, the answer is there are a couple. They fall out of some of the results that we're working at the moment on changing the at-large liaison person to an at-large board member. But again, so you could actually have that information in writing from the as a very clear output. Is that going to lead to a useful discussion for the board to tell you, yes, there is going to be a board member from the ALEC, not... What I'm suggesting is that you look for opportunities for dialogue rather than simply yes, no, or simple quantitative answers that you could have got in writing. Coming all the way to Brussels and meeting with the board, from my perspective on both sides of the fence, obviously, I think a dialogue about real issues is going to be much more helpful than just simply short answers.
Well, the discrete example you use in terms of changes to selection of board members would be a launching point to say, tying back to the affirmation, so how does that address the affirmation's requirement that selection of the board be adequate, sufficient? Is it sufficient? How is it sufficient? How is it changing the dynamic? Why was the change made? You can tie it back to those higher points of discourse that Becky?
And I think if the answer is nothing has been done, then my question would be, what is being planned? What are you talking about? What are you considering? What would you individually think is a good idea if plans have not progressed? I mean, to me, all of these questions are questions because we're talking about a process that's not complete, that's ongoing. All of these questions are questions that will lead to conversation. And frankly, I would think in some cases provoke interesting conversations among the board members about what their particular priorities are or the ways in which they think the affirmation of commitments goals can be moved forward.
Thank you, Becky. I think an articulation from a board member as to the extent to which the board composition meets ICANN's present and future needs, an understanding of how that board member views the present needs of ICANN and the future needs of ICANN with respect to board composition would be illuminating for me. Again, that's not – is that tying into a specific question in the list? I can't see the entirety of it. Manal? Do we have a discrete board composition question that we could key off of? Question one. I think, Peter, since you've indicated there's been a specific change, this might be a good area to key on. Number one, Cheryl.
Thank you, Brian. Just a little, I'd like to certainly see the first six questions with variable opportunities to discuss. I think if we can get through, I'd love to think we could get through the six questions with the time we have with the board. But you know, since the 4th of June, Peter's had this list of questions, and I would have actually expected that there's been some preparation ready to respond to some of these matters, and it would be a bit presumptuous of us to come in and say, now listen, we know we wrote a whole bunch of questions to you, but we only want you to talk about section 3.1. I think we might be overworking this a little bit. I think if we can say, as we come in, we know we've sent you, depending on which group we're talking to, 1, 5, 11 or 19 questions. We have a limited amount of time with you here today. We'd like to hear first what, in your preparation for our meeting, are your priorities and what would you like to bring forward to us? And when we're talking to the GNSL Council, we'll get a particular response. When we're talking to the joint board and GAC working group, we will focus on from questions, you know, 8 and 9 on that we've also asked the board. When we're talking to the board, I would think they would say, well, clearly we have this and this and this, which we will be getting to you in writing because you've already asked for that, and now we all know we can focus on probably question 6 in detail, if that's the outcome. I'm just not sure that we can stare into crystal balls and reform things when there should be a degree of dialogue and flexibility. Otherwise, I'm actually back with Peter. We could just have got them to respond to the public comments.
Thank you, Cheryl. I've approached this question primarily from a time management perspective, and that's why I'm framing the issues this way. We have an hour and a half, and what's the best value we can get from that exchange? And a verbal exchange is different from a written exchange qualitatively. You have the opportunity for candid remarks, context. I don't want to reinvent the wheel here. Nor would I say we're excluding any question in the list of questions provided, but rather can we create some prioritization or some framing of the discussion that maximizes the verbal or oral inputs that we get from the board.
If I can just steal the microphone back for a moment, Brian, and I'm now putting on my leader within at-large advisory committee role hat here, because what we've done is prepared our community to interact with us as a review team. And we have specifically tasked our regional leadership to interact with their at-large structures and to come with opinion, thought, concern, responses, if nothing else, to just the questions on the public comment lists and bring any particular case studies. Now, if we then come in and they're all prepped, ready to go, in three languages, and we say, oh, we actually only want to talk about this. That's something I was a little concerned about. So I believe that, like Becky said, how some of the people in the GNSO world are preparing and what they want to bring forward. I know the at-large community has done the same. I'm presuming board GAC joint work group has done the same. I assume board's done the same, and I assume GAC's done the same. And we all know there's X amount of time and far more than we can possibly do in it to be done. So we need to narrow it down to what's the best use of. But that's the first part of the dialogue.
Any other specific suggestions? Larry.
I strongly support what Cheryl has just said, in terms of both of her comments, in terms of giving these groups a chance first to tell us what they think is important about what we're doing. I do think, as the follow-up, I've been also in strong support of Peter's idea that asking the fact questions is not a good use of our time. Asking the qualitative questions are. So just on what you have up on the screen, the first six questions to the board, what's important here is number five, is what does the board think the affirmation calls for? What changes would they like to see, whether they've been implemented or not, to me is more interesting than whether or not any particular change has been made, because, again, we have the alternate sources of that sort of information. But getting a sense of I guess maybe a way to think about it is what we're really looking for from a lot of folks is the diagnosis. What is it that they see about the environment that they're working in? Where do they see the opportunities for improvement are probably as important right now for us as hearing the specific measures that have been proposed to be resolved, which, again, we need that information, but to get the kind of discussion we want over the next several days, I think we do need, as Peter says, keep it qualitative.
Thank you, Larry. Diagnostics, I like that. Any other thought here? I think we've got a general framing of our approach. I'm not sure that Peter, with respect to, you know, speaking to Diane and helping to prep the board, that I have anything specific other than the general framing.
Diane's issues are much more about staging the event. How many people are coming? How do you want to sit? Do you want it scribed? Do you want it, you know, what supporting mechanisms around this meeting do you want?
Okay. Well, on that point, then, I think our approach has been that all these meetings are opened unless requested, and the GAC requested a closed session, and the Ombudsman requested a closed session. If we're talking, I think all of the communications platforms should be available, unless anyone disagrees, that we use in all of these sessions. In terms of the shape of the...
But don't arrive and expect Diane to be providing those. If you've got... If the team is providing what the team wants, that's fine, but...
Oh. No, Alice, you've... Oh, yeah, the team, Alice, is coordinating all the communications platforms, so we can communicate that to Diane. That she doesn't have to worry about that, if that's the concern. Oh, yeah, that's all been prearranged. In terms of the shape of the table, you know, I think we were talking about this yesterday, Manal and I. I mean, we could sit interspersed. You know, whatever makes people the most comfortable. I think what we're trying to achieve here is as frank, open, and comfortable a dialogue as possible. And so, you know, having us, you know, at tables across from each other, staring at each other, I wouldn't necessarily advocate. I don't have a particular view other than comfortable, open, candid. And what best facilitates that in terms of the room is what I'd suggest. And I'm not kidding about sitting interspersed. I mean, if we were in a room like this, I'd just, everybody take your seats and we'll have an open dialogue. So, Alice, maybe we can, as a practical matter, go over the room setups and take a look at the seating and address that in advance. Willie.
So which of the two Peters will we have, Peter 1 or Peter 2?
The voices tell me that we will all be there.
Okay. Anything else? I'm sensing we've hit the end on this issue. Becky.
I think to Larry's point about... you know, question five, I think that there are a variety of questions like that all the way through here. You know, what changes would you like to see implemented with respect to board selection? Question six is also something that is a priority for me. And then also I would very much like to hear from the board on the GAC questions, and in particular on question 10. And I just want to... those are my priorities for input, and part of that is driven by my sense that there may not be a shared understanding between the GAC and the board on some of these issues. on which I could be quite wrong.
Fair enough. And my other view on this exchange is that in balance, I'm hoping that we are doing less talking and the folks we're meeting with are doing much, much more. Not in any way to suggest to any team member that we should be constrained in focusing a question and a dialogue, please. Everyone has the liberty to do that. But I'm hoping that most of the talking is on the other side of the table. Any other points on this? Okay, we can keep moving through our agenda, and we're doing well. We have another half hour. A very important issue that we need to decide before we disband from our face-to-face meetings as a team tomorrow is the location of our meeting in Asia. And I think we have about 7 cities and 18 opinions and on the table. But in terms of my view, I think many of the team members share the sentiment that a meeting in Beijing would be of very high value, and we're going to continue to ask Mr. Zhang to work his process to see if we can get approval of that location. Mr. Zhang?
Regarding the Beijing to the next business meeting, also our internal process is almost done so far. So maybe still need 1 week. So I will give you a positive or nice answer.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zhang. And having spoken beforehand, just as a matter of prudence, since we have about 2 months, 2.5 months, what I'd like to ask the team to do is identify 1 or 2 locations maximum in the event that, an understanding that certain elements of your process are beyond your control, should we not be able to convene in Beijing, at least have 1 or 2 other locations as candidates that are being prepared as a fallback. So we've had a doodle poll out. We've had a number of locations. We need to sharpen our pencils and get down to 1 or 2 locations and begin to prepare backup meetings. Fabio.
Well, I would like to hear the views of the members, because I would also like to go to Beijing. I consider that should be our first choice. But I'm not sure that we can wait another week, because there are a lot of requirements in terms of visa, booking, tickets. So, first of all, I would like to hear from the other members of the group how urgent the decision is. If we all agree that Beijing would be the first solution, can we explore the possibility of saying we are going to Beijing, period? And then the real question that remains open is whether the meeting will be hosted by the ministry or whether the meeting can take place somewhere else in Beijing, in an hotel with some support from ICANN, somewhere else, because that would allow us to still go ahead with travel arrangements, visa, whatever we do. We would get out of this meeting with a firm decision. It will be Beijing, and then we will see where the precise venue in Beijing will be. So two issues, urgency, and could we explore the second option that would mean Beijing, subject to final decisions on the precise venue within Beijing.
Thank you, Fabio. Peter.
Thank you. Jumping to the conclusion of the doodle poll before we finished the doodle poll. I thought we were doing a doodle poll on
And there it is on the screen.
Right.
So, yeah, we do have a few members who need to submit their responses, so we have a completed doodle poll.
So why are we talking about this before that's been done?
As a matter of expedience, because time is getting short, and we need to, if Beijing is not feasible for whatever reason, we really need to be making plans for that other location.
Beijing's not on this doodle poll.
No, Beijing is assumed as our number one choice, pending Mr. Zhang's completion of his process.
Oh, then I've completely misunderstood the process. I'm sorry.
We're trying to identify backup plans, if you will. Should Beijing not be feasible for whatever reason, we need to start the work of confirming logistically and having community support. And there's a few elements to these locations. We obviously, there's logistics. but there's also support of the local internet community. Is there a local internet community that can help us with the logistics? Because again, this exercise is an interaction with the community. So there's locations up here, but if there wasn't a local internet community to interact with, I would see that as minimizing the value of that proposed location. So what I'd like to get to here is, can we agree on two alternative venues to Beijing and have a review team member take on the assignment of quickly identifying logistics, support, and coming back to the team and saying, yes, Singapore is feasible, or no, it's not. Yes, Larry.
Do we have a sponsor for each of these locations in terms of, I mean, I don't know how this list was arrived at. I know I thought Warren had proposed at least one of the cities, which I assume meant that GoDaddy would provide the kind of the spot logistical sponsorship of it.
But we'll support the logisticals if it's Singapore.
So do we have that for Tokyo and Hong Kong and the others? I assume Wellington would be Peter, although some of the Europeans don't seem to want to go down there. So,
Fabio.
I've met in Hong Kong the chairman of the local Internet Society, who said that he would be able to help us if we needed.
And I think someone told me that the local Internet in Sydney, is that right, that we have local Internet community support for Sydney, or did I mishear that?
No way.
No way. Okay. But this is a critical element, having the local support structure and the ability to interact with the community during our meetings.
Brian, if I may, what we do also have, if we've now establishing that there is a need for us to understand what the support mechanisms will be, it makes my prioritisation. I'm actually going back into the doodle poll, and I'm now going to change my mind because I now would like to have a probably only one green and there'll be two yellow, and I'm going to bump a couple into red. So because there is, with the recent experience we've had in the Hong Kong meeting for the Asia Pacific Regional Internet Governance Forum, which Peter was at, it worked actually in a very different but a far more cost-effective venue than I was aware of before I went to that meeting. Normally I go, oh, Hong Kong's very expensive to stay there. But this was not the case from my experience this week. So it's changed my mind. So knowing how the local support and the ability for the local internet community to be reached out to and interact with is very important from my perspective.
Who are the members who haven't registered their opinion yet on the poll? Peter? If you can. Yeah, let's do this in real time. Let's get to it. Who else hasn't weighed in? Louis Lee, but he's not here. So Peter, Louis, say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yes, Fabio.
We don't need Louis' opinion because unfortunately he's not available on those days.
You're right, he's remote.
Anywhere.
Well said, he's remote. Who else? Well, Mr. Zhang is arranging Beijing. There we go. Mr. Zhang,
do you have an opinion on fallback locations?
First, allow me to apologize because the numbers are written in Arabic, so it's not very helpful to everyone in the room. But I think the colors are.
But we have support. We have structural support. Okay.
Actually, Larry, there's a very good reason for that because the Australian-based local internet community will be in Queensland at another event during that time.
Okay, so do we have updated? Cheryl's updated? Okay. And Mr. Zhang has indicated in terms of backups, Hong Kong or Singapore, should Beijing not materialize. So I think based on the doodle poll, we're looking at Hong Kong or Singapore, correct, as the two that have the most support? If you can get that. Oh, to Peter? Okay. I'm pretty confident that that's the... If you add Hong Kong and Singapore, Mr. Zhang. Peter, what were your selections? I think those are the two clear candidates. And Fabio, you've indicated internet community support for Hong Kong. Warren, GoDaddy, logistical support for Hong Kong. Singapore, pardon me. Thank you. The local internet community in Singapore. Does anyone have any contacts?
We'll have contacts. I mean, I'll follow up on that. What are you looking for exactly? I mean, what exactly are you looking for, Brian, from that perspective? Just that there will be participants in open forums or?
Two things, to assist with logistical support. And secondly, for community interaction.
All right.
Locally. Okay, so who would like to be the owner of Hong Kong? Fabio? Okay, so Fabio and Warren, if you would, as quickly as you can, run down the logistics, the feasibility of holding these meetings in Hong Kong or Singapore and report back to the review team. And then we'll go with those two locations as our backup. Again, pending the decision on Beijing. Any other discussion? Okay. Let's see. The next thing. Yes, Fabio.
Could we have from Alice, perhaps by email, a list of the technical requirements that we should be asking for?
Yes, Alice, if you'd provide that to Warren and to Fabio. And let me note that Becky just indicated that her firm has an office in Beijing. So to your suggestion, Fabio, should Mr. Zhang's process not result that, you know, Beijing B, if you will, as opposed to Beijing A, might be feasible as well.
But Brian, if this is the case, then I would say we don't need to discuss Hong Kong and Singapore. Because if we are in a situation where essentially the choice is Beijing hosted by the ministry, or Beijing hosted by Becky's firm, then we could say it's Beijing.
I just want to say our office in Beijing is small, so in terms of space for the community to come in and participate, that could be more problematic. But we would have, you know, people who could do, if we were in a hotel or something like that, could help with the logistical stuff. So it's really a question of how many people we need to accommodate.
Thank you, Becky. Mr. Zhang.
Mr. Fabio, I don't know what's the exact difference between the hold by the Ministry of other community, because they support this meeting for China problem, even for our MI, also other community doesn't matter for this meeting. But what's the difference between the hosted by the ministry or for others?
But this goes in the direction of being able to decide now that we go to Beijing, that each one of us can start applying for a visa, doing the travel arrangements, and we shall just know over the next few weeks precisely where the venue will be. Is that the... That seems to me to be the direction in which we're going.
Mr. Zhang.
If we accept for meeting Beijing for visa for us, no problem. We will give an invitation for us, no problem. Also, we will help all us have, to do some others, no problem. If we have decided in Beijing. Okay.
Does anybody on the review team know of a particularly strenuous visa requirement vis-a-vis going to Beijing?
Yeah. Yeah, microphone.
Eric, please.
Yeah.
I need visa, but with a letter of invitation, I can make the process in the Lima embassy. And this is the difference with Australia or New Zealand, that I need to send my passport to Chile because we don't have embassy in Peru.
Larry?
I'm informed that as representing the U.S. government, we may need an invitation from the Chinese government to get a visa to come in. So I think there may be an issue that if the ministry is not hosting this, whether we'll be able to arrange a visa at my end. So,
Mr. Zhang, are you in a position to send all the members of the review team rapidly an invitation, irrespective of whether the meeting will be hosted by the ministry or not? Because this would allow us to advance. If you were able to send us an invitation in any case.
If we decided next week we will have our meeting in Beijing, we will give each of people an invitation, no problem.
Thank you, Mr. Zhang. Eric?
Yes, is we need to wait 1 week to take the decision. Wait in the week, and then we talk again.
Fabio.
What we have to decide here is, if at the end of the week there is a problem in Beijing, do we have to already have identified an alternative venue, an alternative location in another city or not? Because my understanding is that from everything that has been said, we can decide that it will be Beijing. The issue, I'm asking the question again, if for whatever reason, in a week, you were not in a position, well, you were to tell us that the meeting cannot be hosted in the ministry, can you still send us an invitation for us to apply for the visas, even if the precise venue were to be in an hotel, in a private firm, or somewhere else? Can you send us a letter of invitation to China for us to use to apply for the visas, even if the meeting is not in the ministry?
Yes, you know, some form of fear, since I have to make some clear. I don't know exactly if it's not decided by our government. Also, still need ask you an invitation or not. I don't know exactly, so I couldn't make sure, you know.
So there'd be a separate process Mr. Zhang would have to go through in either scenario, is what I'm hearing.
Brian, if I can just have a minor intervention, which coming back to Fabio's point, we've still got Beijing as our first priority. We've actually got most of the way here into looking at a second priority. So I don't see a downside of saying, here is our fallback position with the doodle poll, and we have a week to know whether or not we are able to get the invitations for visa to Beijing or not.
Thank you, Cheryl. Mr. Zhang?
Yeah, I mean, I explain it again, because maybe make some mistake, but all what has done for our procedure is to ask the Foreign Affairs Department to decide whether or not to give each of our members an invitation. But for meeting, maybe another, we can hold in Beijing, and not for special for ministry to in charge of, or for you responsible for this meeting. Do you understand, maybe? Could be.
Fabio.
Can we then agree that, okay, we wait an extra week, but we would have to really to say if by the end of next week no decision has arrived, then we forget Beijing. Mm-hmm. Fine. Then could we take a decision between Singapore and Hong Kong? Mm-hmm. Because I assume, what is? Okay, fine. So it's Hong Kong.
Oh, you mean choose between Singapore and Hong Kong?
Singapore, Hong Kong.
He said Hong Kong,
Hong Kong.
Singapore. He actually supported both as backups. If we're waiting a week, is there any harm here in people doing the research on Hong Kong and Singapore and coming back with data? I don't think there's any harm if we could do that. And we'll see where we are in a week. And Alice, you'll get the criteria, excuse me, logistical criteria to Fabio and Warren. Thank you. Fabio.
The criteria are urgent, Alice, because we cannot even send the first email without the criteria. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, on to the next item. And I apologize. Some of these items don't appear on the agenda. These were my own doodlings, if you will, of things that I hoped we'd get to tomorrow, but we are being so remarkably efficient. You're all to be congratulated. Let's talk about the conference call schedule that's been proposed. Well, Manal can pull that up on the screen. But I think this would be another item to be good to be set in stone. We had put out a proposed call agenda. There had been feedback from a number of review team members highlighting particular holidays or particular conflicts. I believe adjustments have been made. Our goal was to establish a single day of the week, but obviously that can't be perfect. So what we have on the table right now is this conference call schedule, proposed dates. We, as before, would rotate each call forward 6 to 8 hours, so the time zone pain is spread evenly. Manal has collected some time zone difference data to try to see which setting would would be more humane for all of the team. Have you any specific findings on that? Is that reflected in the...
No, actually, I was trying to see if this reflects what the group suggested by the time shifts or rotation. So it's one suggestion would be 3-9-3-9, and then we repeat again, or 3-9-3-9, then 4-10-4-10, then 5-11, and so on. So which would be preferable? If you would like me to send this again to the whole group right now to be able to check local times?
I think that'd be a good idea. Well, everyone on the team, when you get this, please... actually, I've already filled in the U.S. EDT time to you, so Larry, Becky, anybody else in that time zone, you don't have to respond. But in the far right column, if you can indicate the converted time in your locality and send it back to Manal so we can calibrate which hours are the best?
They could take a decision whether all the times are convenient or not. If there is a time that is not convenient for one of the members, just highlight this with a suggestion whether to make it an hour earlier or an hour later.
Should we make this a doodle poll?
No.
Okay. When you get the document, please indicate to Manal if any of these times are absolute non-starters for you.
Unless people are fine with the time zones, then we're done.
Yes, Eric?
Yes, only a comment, a few comments. That is, in the first 3, 4, 5, are the difference are 2 weeks. Then it's 3 weeks, but 1 week after our presidential meeting on the September 6th, and the same happened in the October 18th. We need a presidential, and one week later, a teleconference is not so close. To keep 15, 15, 15, 15, or try to keep some similar difference of time. Also happen in October. October you have 1 week, 18, 25, then in November, and then 1 month later, more than half on our teleconference.
Do you have any explain?
Points well taken. I think what we can decide, perhaps, is the dates. People will have to come back with times and whether they work or not to Manal. But let's focus in on that. So, Eric, to your point, good questions. Do you have do we know why that was structured that way, Manal?
Yes, I'm digging this out right now. But all the justification was in the initial file I shared, but I tried to clean this one, so I'm trying to get the older version. Just a second.
So everyone, please review the dates when you see them. If there's any date that poses a problem vis-a-vis a holiday or a particular conflict, please flag that. Larry.
But just to pick up on Eric's point, it does seem that when we get into September, we have times week of September 6th, week of September 20th. If I understood Eric's point, it was that since we will have just met the last week of August, perhaps the first call in September should be the week of the 13th, and then keep the week of the 29th, but just move the two calls on the 6th and the 20th and make it one call the week of the 13th. Similarly, if I understood him correct, when we move into October, since we're going to be together the 12th and 13th, perhaps skip the call on the 18th and come back on October, the week of October 25th. So it's not so much a particular day is a problem. It's more, I think, are we sequencing it the right week given our in-person meetings?
Yep, point taken. So I think let's stick with the first one, Manal. We could make an adjustment in September from the 6th to the 13th. Here's the reasons, right? Right, and people will be traveling on the 13th, or some will. Okay. Well, that's a clear enough explanation. I guess the question is, do we need a call on the 6th? Can we wait until the 20th? Would we keep the call? Lose the call on the 6th? Drop the call on the 6th?
No, I think we will need that because I think that will be the most intense period between the Asia meeting and October. So there probably we will need the conference call.
Keep the conference call on the 6th.
Sorry, Brian. If I continue with that idea, that could be very useful. That same happened at the final of October, that we have three very frequent teleconference, 18, 25, 8 of November. And also we had 1 week before.
Excuse me. I mean, to me, this really is the most crucial period. We're coming to the end of our data collection, our heavy analysis. We're drafting recommendations. To me, this is the heaviest work period. Fabio?
I'm not so sure because we will be posting out our draft recommendations by mid-October, and between mid-October and end of November, we will not be doing anything.
We had mid-October targeted for the draft recommendations.
But my understanding is that we will have a very intense meeting at the end of August, yes, where we will start the drafting. Then, through the working groups and everything, we'll be doing most of the work between end of August and the 12th of October. And the 12th of October, we should convene and produce a sort of semi-finished product, mm-hmm, that will be put out for consultation. Mm-hmm. Then there'll be the 45 days of consultation and the finalization of the document. So during the period of consultation, I don't think that our work will be that intense.
I think it's too early to really decide, but I mean, if we agree that this is a convenient slot, should we need one, then we should go for blocking this right now and maybe releasing it as we...
That's a common sense proposal. Thank you. So we're going to keep the call on the 6th of September, even though it's a week after we've met, because of the intensity of the work. We're going to keep these dates as is and decide if we drop them, if our work is completed mid-October. Okay. If you would send this out to the team members, Manal. And then on the time question, just give Manal your feedback on whether certain times do not work for you at all in terms of the call. This also leads to a follow-on question about the meeting in Cairo and the intensity of the work, as you said, Fabio. The doodle poll showed that everyone actually has 3 consecutive days available for Cairo. We had put it to the group as a 2-day meeting, 2 different options, I think 12-13 or 13-14. Yeah. Given the fact that this will be probably the most intense part of our work, where we've gotten a near-final management assessment, we've gotten all our documentations analysis, and the sub-working groups are reporting in on their findings and preliminary recommendations, the thought was perhaps a full three-day meeting in Cairo would allow us to really finish that work. Fabio?
I have a bit of a problem on the 14th, but okay, it doesn't matter. I will, if needed, I will certainly change any other commitment. But I was wondering if, after all, we could not foresee that we all arrive on the 11th and we all fly out, say, on the 14th, and the 12th and the 13th will be 2 full days where we can meet from early in the morning with everybody being here, and we continue until well late in the afternoon, evening of the 13th. The problem is that we have to decide now about flights. For instance, we should be avoiding a situation where some people might fly in on the morning of the 12th. Delays are always possible, and then we lose some time there.
Thank you, Fabio. In terms of the actual work, at a minimum, we're going to have a near-final report from the management assessment team that we need to digest, discuss, analyze. We're going to have the working groups, and there's going to be, depending on how we combine some of the elements, at least 3 or 4 working groups that are reporting back into the team their review, their analysis, their potential recommendations as a working group, sub-working group. And then we as an entire team turn toward developing recommendations. You know, I certainly see that we could use a full 3 days myself. If you're suggesting that we go with 2 very full days, it's one approach. Any other thoughts on that? Cheryl?
Because I thought that the workload would be fairly heavy, by good luck perhaps, not good management, but I've already got my ticketing organised. Yes, I can change it. But it made sense to me, looking at when I'm arriving, I will be arriving on the 11th, which leaves us up to the full 3 days, certainly on my already organised itinerary. So I'd like to support that concept of Fabio's of getting in on the 11th, but I think we do need more time, not less, scheduled. And if we gain and go through the agenda very fast, well, that's good. We'll have something to do one afternoon in Cairo. But I'd rather not limit ourselves now. So I'm looking at arriving on the Monday and going out on the Thursday. But not until 6:30 in the evening. So it gives us the full amount of daytime.
Any other discussion? So let's plan on having 3 days in Cairo. Oh, you would ask that. 12th, 13th, and 14th. We are at the half hour, and with our adjusted agenda, we're going to now stop our agenda, take our lunch break, and move toward hearing the presentations from the candidates, the RFP candidates. Any other business or items to discuss before we break? Manal?
There was a suggestion to, or a request to have people dialing into our calls, and I think it's relevant.
Yes, thank you, Manal. There's been some discussion on the list, a question about whether for our calls, not our face-to-face meetings, but our calls, that a bridge should be open for the public to dial in and listen into the call. There's been competing views on the list, some supporting that, some saying effectively, well, there's no opportunity for the public to intervene and that the transcript of the call, the recording itself, will be up within 24 hours or so, so there's not much lost, if you will, in terms of access and transparency. Those are the competing thoughts. Any discussion? Strong views? No strong views? I personally would lean toward with the logistics of an open bridge and how many people call in and the fact that the call is available within a very short period of time and there's no opportunity for intervention, that we proceed with not setting up a separate public bridge for listening to the call. Does anyone oppose that? Peter. That's opposition. Okay. Show of hands. Show of hands. Those who support having an open bridge, live listening during the call for the public.
Can Peter please just expound on it? I'd like to just hear his thoughts on the open bridge where there's no participation.
I think it's just inherent in the way ICANN does things, and it should be. It's part of, I think, the existing discussion we've had about how this team operates, which is that it's open unless someone makes it closed. And when it's open, that means you make the facilities available for people to listen, just as people can walk in the room and listen when you're having a call. That's the committee meeting in an electronic format, so that people have to be able to walk electronically into the room. And I think as soon as you start using criteria like cost or not many people join to start limiting access, you're on slippery slope. The principle is to allow the access.
Discussion? Cheryl?
Because it came from the community who, and it doesn't matter that it might be just one or two people who wish it to listen in, I don't think there's a downside to that. Yes, I heard the argument on the list that said, but what if we need to move into closed session? Well, you either organise your agenda so that things go into closed session. The way we do it in the at-large world is if we have known closed sessions, we open the phone bridge for the closed session earlier and finish that. You then hear if people join the phone bridge. So as long as you manage how you go into closed session and open session through a phone bridge intelligently, it's not that difficult logistically. And we've certainly had the situation where we've had an unpredicted need to take something in camera, and you simply say, we will now continue with the rest of our agenda, disconnect, and the team will reconnect, and you deal with that in camera. It's not logistically challenging to work on the have it open principle, and on the rare occasion that it needs to be taken away from being everyone can listen in, it's easy enough to deal with.
Thank you, Cheryl. And personally, I wasn't influenced by that. That, I assume, is easy enough to do. I don't see that as a challenge. To me, it was the inability to intervene that was more influential in my thinking. Becky.
I am not opposed to having the meetings open. What I do have one question, and I don't have a real sense of how this affects things, but it seems to me that if we have this, you know, live issue that we're then going to be having sort of questions and input from the community in the course of the conversations. And I wonder whether that is how that affects the flow of the conversation, people paying attention to what's going on from the outside and what's coming in. These are all just questions that I'm asking, but it does seem to me to change the dynamic from being a conversation among the members of the team to having a conversation among the members of the team with input from the community. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying I think it's a different dynamic, and I don't know. I don't have any experience with how it affects the flow.
Thank you. An evolved thought that I just had is that the point Peter raised about generally transparency, and there not being a downside, as Cheryl said, wanting this team's work and endeavor to be respected and embraced by the community fully, both throughout the process and particularly at the end, I think I'm tilting toward keeping them open. I don't see the harm now that I've thought it through. Any other thoughts before we move to a vote? Fabio.
We have to think a second about whether we are not likely to create even more frustration, because essentially it's about allowing people to phone in and ask questions, contribute to the discussion.
It's not about participation. It's about observing. There's no suggestion that people are going to be able to participate.
No intervention. This is simple listening. And
your stream. Oh, sorry. Of streaming of listening possibility.
Not during our calls.
Yeah.
That's the request, that we implement a phone-in bridge.
But just back to my point. It does create the possibility of input, live input into the meeting by virtue of, you know, the people sending emails, you know, chat, whatever. So, I mean, it does create the possibility of input into the actual meetings, which might be a good thing. It might create more frustration.
Point about frustration is that if you allow external input as a chair, you will have problems, because you might be discussing something very important on which outside stakeholders have a strong views. They will keep asking questions, and you will have to say, come on, we have to close it. So as Becky was saying, if there is a possibility of external input, there is a bit of a problem. On the other hand, we already have the listening capacity now, and we haven't seen that much disruption during our meetings. So probably there is no big risk in opening up calls as well.
Warren, please.
You know, I think you should take. I think Peter articulated it very well, and it would do us a disservice not to have it as open as possible. I think you should call a vote.
Yeah, calling a vote. Should we open our calls to a call bridge that the public can dial into in observer status with no possibility of intervention but live listening? Those in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We've got a large majority. So voted. Okay, I think we really do need... And at any time, per our rules, any member can request a closed session, in which case those access bridges would be closed. Okay, we do need to move to the next part of our agenda, take a break, move into the closed session. So this is the any other items, last call. Okay, this is the end of the open part of our agenda. And we'll reconvene with Manal.
Just how are we going to treat company confidential data if this is...
We can discuss that over the lunch hour. Okay. Thank you. Okay, we're taking a break. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.